The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO Minneapolis, fueled by Lucky's Station.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump attacked the latest step in the impeachment inquiry as former Vice President Joe Biden called Mr. Trump a threat to the nation.
President Trump tells a crowd in Tupelo, Mississippi, that he and they are the targets of a conspiracy to take away his 2016 election and block his re-election effort.
The Democrats, the media, and the deep state are desperate to stop us.
Trump slamming the House Democrats for investigating his seeming effort to get Ukraine to investigate the Democrats and former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Biden, in a speech to Iowa Democrats, calls Trump a threat that needs to not only be stopped next November.
We've got to beat him soundly so everyone knows we are not going back to a time when another president like him can hold that office.
That from KCCI. I'm Tim McGuire.
This is SRN News.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka wants to see the Republicans fight.
What we saw today, that handful of people from the Freedom Caucus busting into that secret trial, that fake impeachment, this could turn things around because we have to start fighting. Marquess of Queensbury doesn't work anymore. We have to play politics. We have to fight politically like they do.
America First with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Afternoons at 2 on AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
Just past 2 o'clock here in the Twin Cities on this Saturday, November 2nd. Yeah, it's already November. I can't believe it either. Let's take a look at your Twin Cities forecast for today from the Great Plains Windows and Doors Weather Center. Cloudy skies this afternoon and tonight, high of 37 and a low of 29. And a friendly reminder from the Patriot to set your clocks back an hour tonight, this Saturday, as daylight savings time ends. That way you won't miss out on your favorite Sunday morning shows right here on AM 1280 The Patriot.
This is the Northern Alliance Radio Network, the longest-running conservative talk show in the Twin Cities.
It's great to be back in Minnesota today.
Political analysis of the good, the bad, and the outright crazy. Now, here's your headline act, Mitch Bird.
Welcome back, Twin Cities and world. It's the wind beneath the right wing, the show that says, send us your tired, huddled masses yearning to see red, the show that is making talk radio great again, the Northern Alliance Radio Network. My name is Mitch Berg. My blog, shotsinthedark.info, back as promised from assignment last week, judging the Speaking Proudly speech term. My only regret about Speaking Proudly is that it doesn't happen every single year, but it, in fact, is an entirely volunteer organization that does some great work. We talked about it last hour. By all means, check it out. And if you know a high school young lady who is going to be a member of the class of 2021, they're going to be eligible next time. So stay tuned. Put a bug in their ear. This is a great contest. I'm looking forward to being involved again, as was King Banyan and Ed Morrissey, for those of you who remember the show back that far. 651-289-4488, the number to call if you'd like to join us on this chilly, cloudy, snowy day. Early November, go figure. Listen to the hand-wringing and laugh. I do, at least. But then I do that all winter long because, well, I'm from North Dakota originally, and southern Minnesota winters strike me as the kind of things we used to go to sit on the beach when I was in high school and college before I moved to the Twin Cities. At any rate, there are other rituals that go along with Minnesota, living here this time of year, listening to people kvetching about the weather, listening to TV weathermen warning about calamity and doom every time more than an inch of snow falls. Terrible drivers yapping about the benefits of the zipper merge, people complaining about Thanksgiving that and the holidays in general, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and the likes. That's usually public radio people who manage to find something to be depressed about pretty much any time, especially the holidays. But, of course, the other great ritual, the one of the ones that keeps us on the air, is getting ready for the next Minnesota State Legislature, and someone who gets ready for the next legislature for something of a vocation here is our guest back with us for, I believe, year four of these sessions, from the Legislative Evaluation Assembly of Minnesota. John Augustine joins us. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mitch.
Great to have you here. We're back with your annual report card, the annual LEA report on the Minnesota Legislature, just out as of a couple days ago, I believe. And first of all, before we go into the specifics, because believe me, there's always a lot of them, as you're well aware. You produce this thing every year, you and the rest of the LEA. Tell us a little bit about the history of the Legislative Evaluation Assembly. It sounds wonky because it is. Give us the 411.
It was started in 1972. It's a nonprofit, nonpartisan group. It's all volunteer driven and supported. It has a pretty focused mission, which is to evaluate the Minnesota legislature and report to the citizens on the performance of their legislators. It's all about information and evaluation. We don't endorse candidates or give money to candidates. We do present awards at our annual banquet to those who score highest in the previous year's report.
Okay, and so the report is, I don't know if you use the term report card. That's kind of a fairly common term out there. And
well,
so
we really... Ours is really more of an annual report,
right? I
mean, because others have scorecards, but each vote that we evaluate, we'll give on average about three paragraphs to it. We'll talk about what the bill does, what the probable impacts of the bill will be, and then the reasons why we were for or against it on principle based on our credo. And so even if you don't agree with our conclusions, you can still learn from it because you get the information.
Yep. So we are talking about, and when you referred to in your report, 15 House floor votes and 14 of them in the Senate, which were chosen to illustrate important principles and issues in lawmaking. Give us an idea of the process you go through in picking your sample of legislation by which to judge the legislature.
Well, there aren't as many votes as there used to be years ago from which you can choose because there are far fewer bills that get floor votes than used to. There's not necessarily less law being passed, but it's being consolidated into larger and larger bills. And even the amendment process has been greatly streamlined and censored compared to what it once was.
So. Sort of the budgetary equivalent, the legislative equivalent of the national budget. I mean, it just amounts too big to really track on their own. In this case, words rather than dollars, which in theory should be cheaper, but never really works out that way in government.
We try to pick a broad spectrum of issues. Right. There's fiscal issues in here. There are just general liberty issues.
Give us a sample of the bills that you addressed here.
Well, aside from a number of the omnibus budget bills, which we felt we had to address because they passed almost the entire budget in special session, and we'll maybe get into this later, lots of these budget bills contain some policy that didn't get a lot of attention, but nevertheless will have a lot of impact. So we felt we had to score a lot of these. But then there's also some standalone bills and amendments that we scored. We scored the handheld cell phone use banned by drivers. We scored the comprehensive opioid response bill, and a number of other bills. The proposed gender equality constitutional amendment.
Ooh, okay. All right. So those are the ability. We'll talk about more about the policies that fall out from this. But you don't endorse politicians. You do, in fact, recognize politicians whose voting records on the bills you choose are particularly auspicious. And you've got a list of them this year. Who are the people who comported themselves well in this last legislature?
Well, we had a total of six honorees this year. Four highest scores of 87% each were Representative Steve Drazkowski, Eric Lucero, Shane Meckland, and Jeremy Monson. And then we had two other honorees that scored over 75% and above, Representatives John Heinrich and Jerry Herthaus. And Tim Miller scored honorable mention, which is between 70% and 75%.
Yeah, and so by the way, I believe three of those honorees were three of the four members of the new House Republican Caucus. So I think it's fair to say that maybe these people actually walking the talk that they gave when they broke away from the larger House Caucus. I'm editorializing just a tad there. Now, you note in your press release on the subject there were no Senate honorees. This is something that's fairly common with these sorts of reports. For some reason, when conservatives and Republicans get into power, the votes tend to track less closely with principle and more closely with pragmatism. That's, I think, in my humble opinion, this is one of the downsides of these sorts of reports. It's anyone who actually has to govern in the majority is at a disadvantage when it comes to legislating to pure principle or even somewhat adulterated principle. How do you respond to that, John Augustine?
Well, when the process evolves to just the governor, the Speaker of the House, and the Senate Majority Leader meeting behind closed doors and deciding the vast majority of the two-year budget.
Yeah,
I mean, not even the House Minority Leader or the Senate Minority Leader were could make the cut for these discussions. There's 201 legislators, but it pretty much devolves to them, and then before Memorial Day, they want to get out for Memorial Day weekend. They're just supposed to come back and rubber stamp this deal that's done in private. The Senate having a narrow margin in terms of majority control, there's more pressure to stick together in order to keep your negotiating leverage. So you're right. If they're in the minority, it's easier for them to cast principled votes. But, I mean, we still want to reward principled votes, but there's still a lot of votes, even the ones that aren't omnibus bills, that they might get sizable amount of opposition in the House, but either 67-0 in the Senate or 65-2. There's just like a culture that seems like that if something got through the House, well, we're not going to stop it. We're just gonna bring it right on through. It seems like, you see that with the comprehensive opioid epidemic response bill that got a 60-3 vote in the Senate. There was no budget involved there.
Right.
Cell phone bill that was.
I've had to do
flame retardant chemical ban that was 66-0 in the Senate. There's just an awful lot of not very distinguishing votes in the Senate.
Yeah, no, and that was a little disconcerting. I mean, we have some good conservatives.
And we don't stagger Senate terms either.
Right.
So I mean, yes, they have 4-year terms, but there's 3 years where they're not really get much voter scrutiny at all. So.
Yeah, which drove me crazy because in the current Senate's first year, Senator Gazelka, the majority leader, went extremely timid, wanting to protect his freshmen. It's like, hey, you've got 4 years. Throw a little bit of caution to the winds here. You've got 4 years before this class is going to face their next test here. Mm-hmm. Live a little and fight for principle. It didn't happen. Now Gazelka is. I'm not sure where your ratings come in. I think Gazelka has done a marginally better job this last year or so here on a number of issues. But
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay. But, maybe it's all perception.
But the I know Second Amendment issues are near and dear to your heart, and,
among many others.
When it's been tough for us over the years to find votes to score on that because what often happens? Well, rarely do you see a standalone bill get to the floor on it.
Right, so they get tucked away in public.
It becomes an amendment that to add more policy to some other bill, and so. We're generally not big on that, but I mean, we did score one this year, which was to repeal the expiration dates for concealed carry permits.
Okay, and that one clearly flopped.
But when you take something like the red flag laws and so forth, that was in the original Senate version of the House version of the Judiciary Public Safety Bill. But there were no amendments that were offered to, like, remove those provisions.
Right.
So instead, there were just amendments offered to try to change other things in, on the, on
and,
the issue.
And quite frankly, to get Democrat voters on record voting for right. gun control bills. Right. I mean, there's a certain amount of tactics yeah. involved right. there as well, needs to be said. We're talking with John Augustine from the Legislative Evaluation Assembly of Minnesota, talking about their 2019 Legislative Evaluation Report on the legislature. If you got questions for John, by the way, 651-289-4488 is the number to call. Let's take a quick break. You can also join us on hashtag NarnShow on Twitter. That's what we have it there for. Join us, won't you please? We'll be right back.
Does your office need a little TLC? Do you notice your bathrooms are a bit smelly? Are the surfaces in your break room a little sticky? And isn't that the same coffee spill on the floor and chili splatter in the microwave from weeks ago? If so, I've got the solution. Hi, I'm Tasha, owner of Forever Cleaning. We're family-owned and offer affordable, reliable office cleaning all over the Twin Cities metro area. So if your office is screaming for help, call me today. Let's get you scheduled for your free walkthrough so you can receive your free quote at 763-807-9817. If you mention this ad, you will receive 15% off your first month of service. Again, call 763-807-9817. Or you can visit my website at forevercleaning.com. That's the number 4, EVRcleaning.com. Remember, Forever Cleaning is so thorough, you'll wonder if your mom snuck in overnight and cleaned.
Hey, it's Sean here from Serenity Home Interiors, and it's that time of year. The holidays are right around the corner, and life gets chaotic. Soon, family and friends will be in and out of your home. Now is the perfect time to treat yourself to an early present and replace that faded old carpeting or drab laminate flooring with brand new flooring from Serenity. We proudly carry a wide variety of floorings to fit both your tastes and budget. Serenity knows how busy life gets, so we've made it easier for you. Now we offer a free, no-obligation, no-pressure in-home consultation, including measurements. At your request, one of our Serenity professionals visits your home with a variety of samples in hand. Once you decide on the perfect product and that you like Serenity's low, straightforward pricing, as our gift to you, we'll schedule your installation to make sure it's completed before the holidays. So this holiday season, give yourself the gift of beautiful new flooring by calling us today at 952-303-4033 or easily schedule online at shi-mn.com. Again, that's shi-mn.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-7126.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-7126. 1-800-424-7126.
AM 1280, The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Hey, don't forget, America's team, the NDSU Bison, are back in AB business. You with me now or you're not? You're either with the herd or you're against us. Catch all the action with the Bison football season on our sister station, Business 1440. Last year, the herd went undefeated and picked up a record 7th FCS championship over 8 seasons. The good guys are going to make it 8 out of 9 this year. I feel it. See the full schedule and stream the game at TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com. Faith that America will still prevail, found in America's team, the herd, the real green and gold, the Bison.
Happenstance is falling,
Hey, speaking of which, Northern Alliance Radio Network, I do this Saturday afternoon, but my band Elephant in the Room coming up tonight out at Stillwater Lanes and Lounge in Stillwater. Should come as no surprise. If you're with me now so far, here's how you get there. 8 o'clock till midnight tonight, 36 East to Omaha Street. Whip a right, go south two blocks. It's the big building that looks like a bowling alley. That voice you hear in the background. Well, there you go. That John Augustine, in addition to monitoring the legislature for all of us, occasionally pops in and sings a song or two with Elephant in the Room, my band. Which, by the way, is a warning to all of you. We take requests. You just might have to sing them. 651-289-448, as John is perfectly willing to do, as we found out here. Anyway, John, we're talking about the Legislative Evaluation Assembly's report on the 2019 legislature as we go through the annual ritual of getting ready for the 2020 legislature, the theoretical bonding year, although the distinction has basically faded over the years, as pretty much everyone does everything during every session, and it all winds up costing us a sinful amount of money. I was going over the history of dictatorships throughout the world. In fact, I remember seeing videos of the Soviet Union in the 60s, 70s, really through the 80s, throughout the history of the Soviet Union. But I was most drawn to the Soviet Union of Brezhnev, Andropov, and Shevchenko. And when policy in the Soviet Union was basically dictated by the Politburo, a group of five or six people who would basically do all the actual policy making and then filter it down through this immense Congress, the Presidium, the Supreme Soviet, right. That where there would be a quick rubber stamp vote and lots of tumultuous clapping,
right.
Going back to the days of Lenin and Stalin. But really, by the 1980s, really all of the decision making, the likes of Andropov, Chernyenko, to some extent even Brezhnev, were not figureheads, but certainly shared their power with a very, very small group of people in immense power who would then dictate solutions to, or at least dictate policy, that would then be approved to tumultuous applause by an immense body of basically rubber stampers. Or, as we know it today, the Minnesota State Legislative Budget Negotiation Process. Am I right, John Augustine?
I can't disagree with that, Mitch.
You use the analogy of the reverse funnel, the idea that the budget negotiation process, and really all too many policy negotiations as well, start with a thin, narrow funnel pointing upwards, involving the governor and the House and the Senate majority and minority leaders, and the Speaker of the House and the House Minority Leader.
This year, the minority leaders didn't even make the cut.
Oh, they didn't. So it was basically
just three.
It was just basically
three and who were their representatives, whoever they were.
Right. They're underbosses, I believe the term is. We've got the heads of the families. Mm-hmm. We've got the underbosses. Mm-hmm. We've got the capos and the soldiers. I'm sorry. Wrong junta yet again. I don't know how that happened. Anyway, no. So basically, Minnesota policy is being made to an immense extent by Governor Waltz, Paul Gazelka, Tom Bach.
No, not
Tom Bach. I'm sorry, not Tom Bach.
Melissa
Hartman. Even worse. Yeah.
And LEA came up with a little different historical
That's
reference,
right.
Triumvirate, as in ancient Rome.
Same basically idea.
The
Spanish have a wonderful term for it, the junta. I mean, basically, like any Latin American banana republic, you have a junta, a group of three to five strong men or women, in the case of Melissa Hartman.
There have even been some other legislators that have used that phrase unironically.
That's right.
I mean, when it came to the insulin deal, we think we're pretty close to an agreement, but we have to find out what the triumvirate thinks first before we can. But as far as how to fund this or whatever, so civics and good government, you should start out if you're
at the top of the funnel.
You should start out with a broad funnel on top. As far as your top, if you think of the top as you're gathering information, research, that should be where you're comprehensive. And then what seems to have a lot of momentum, popular support, and legitimacy arguments behind it or something gets a hearing. So it's pretty broadly considered hearings. But then what actually should emerge are just, narrowly targeted, measured responses as in line with your constitutional duties, and easier to hold people accountable too when the bills come out, because I mean they're voting up or down on a particular issue,
right?
Whereas when you have these 649 page omnibus health and human services finance bill with all kinds of policy in it,
right?
Of course, there's going to be some things in there that are probably good or necessary, but then there's all kinds of other stuff that gets thrown in, and you can only, and they have to vote on the whole package.
Now, I remember in the 2010 session, 2011-2012 session, and stop me if I'm wrong on this, but my impression was you basically did have a funnel. There were something like 1,000 bills introduced in that session. 40 eventually got signed into law. Now, this was a case where we had divided power, but it was much more broadly divided power. You had Republican majorities in both chambers of the legislature and Governor Dayton, more's the pity, who won a sizable majority of three different constituencies, fictional Americans, deceased Americans, and duplicate Americans. And so he became the governor. But on the other hand, you had bills numbering in at the top of the funnel, as it were, totaling over 1,000, and that they got funneled down, as it were, to 40 bills that were actually signed into law by the governor, which is, say what you will about the output from the 2011-2012 sessions, but that was more like what it's supposed to be. Now, if three people are doing all policy,
having a lot of bills, as long as they're narrowly targeted, isn't necessarily bad.
Right. That's what I'm saying, compared to what we have today. Now, when you have a junta of three basically deciding all policy behind closed doors, it's absurd to expect them to go through 1,000 bills. You have to bundle things up for rapid consideration by a small group of busy people, which leads us to the omnibus bill plague we have. Now, for starters, we're supposed to have a single subject law in the state of Minnesota.
It's in the Constitution.
It's in the Constitution, and yet it is not even honored as a joke in our legislature, is it, John?
No. I mean, and the courts have been deferential on this as well. They've given the legislature a free pass the last number of decades, for the most part, on it. And if they've said, now, as long as we're not hiding it, as long as it's in the title, it's okay. So you can have a three-page title of a bill, and as long as it's in the title, they've let it slide at times. And I mean, it's in 1977, the single subject rule was not intended to inhibit comprehensive legislation. I mean, that was the court ruling. Well, that just opened the floodgates, and so that's where we are. And then we're talking about the Omnibus Health and Human Services bill.
Yes.
So we've got all this. We've had all this turmoil in the Department of Human Services, right?
Yep.
So we're going to have a bill that combines the budget of both the Departments of Health and the Department of Human Services, because Human Health Services isn't enough of a subject to deal with on its own.
Yeah.
So and then all the policy that goes with it.
Be thankful they haven't thrown education in there as well.
Well, there was a different omnibus bill that threw agriculture, housing, and broadband into one bill. So. Those are all exactly the same subject, right? But the omnibus HHS bill had some policy in it that most people probably didn't hear much about because it didn't stand out on its own on the floor or get a lot of discussion. But so the commissioner of health, they're supposed to establish a healthy child development grant program to promote racial and geographic equity in children's health and development. The commissioner must also oversee the creation of a domestic violence and sexual assault prevention program to award grants to nonprofit organizations that incorporate community-driven and culturally relevant prevention practices.
In other words, a transfer of taxpayer money to the nonprofit industrial complex.
Yeah, and we're having a lot of trouble measuring results in the human services right now. How are you going to measure cultural relevance?
That's a fine question. And just seeing how much of the budget involves transferring taxpayer dollars to the nonprofit industrial complex, which are basically sinecures of the DFL political class in this state.
Well, the omnibus state government bill.
Oh, yeah.
The omnibus state government bill.
Yes.
There's the transfer of things that the governor is clearly supposed to do. So in the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, it talks about that the Congress shall have the power to here it is. There's the new enumeration, the census, every 10 years in such manner as they shall by law direct the Congress. But yet in the state government bill this year.
Let's talk about that after the break. Okay. Can we keep you for another segment, John Augustine?
Yeah, sure.
From the Legislative Evaluation Assembly, talking about the 2019 report and looking ahead to the 2020 session. If you got questions for John, give us a call, 651-289-4488. By the way, where can people go to find out more information about the LEA and the report?
Thanks, Mitch. It's at www.lea-mn.org. You can find this year's report and previous reports all on a page there.
I will post that at shotinthedark.info when I get a moment here, so stay tuned. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real, natural-looking hair back permanently. They're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts SAVE 11 to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. You wash it. You cut it. It's your own, real, naturally growing hair. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text SAVE 11 to 85850. That's SAVE 11 to 85850.
Digital marketing is a big part of just about every business. It's everywhere. Is your business using it to your advantage? Are you receiving your share of the leads? If you're not effectively using digital media, you could be losing sales by the second. Even worse, your customers can be grabbed up one by one, never to return. Not sure if you're losing out to the competition? Salem Surround can help you. We give you all the right tools to surround your target audience and turn website visitors into leads. Salem Surround is a full-service digital agency providing you with all your marketing under one roof. Total market penetration for increased return on investment. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your digital presence and to learn more how we can help you place your advertising message in front of today's digital consumers. Salem Surround helps deliver customers by putting your business message in front of the right person at the right time. Learn more at surroundmsp.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. 800-708-3091. 800-708-3091. 800-708-3091. That's 800-708-3091.
AM 1280, The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. 651-289-4488. Join us, won't you please? Or join us at hashtag NARN Show. That's N-A-R-N Show. You're not going to sing along with this one, are you, Augustine?
Probably not.
Okay. This one weeds out the karaoke weed from the karaoke chaff. Not to say you're karaoke chaff. I'm just saying Bruce Dickinson, this is PhD-level karaoke, right?
I would say.
Yeah, that's right. Talking with John Augustine from the Legislative Evaluation Assembly. Talk about their 2019 report. By the way, I'll be posting that at shotinthedark.info when I get a moment here. Hey, don't forget Christmas Mortgage Miracle coming up right now. Get in there at am12athepatriot.com. Get your rent or mortgage paid for a year.
Think of what you could do with all that money. Well, you could do more than think. Go to am12athepatriot.com, become a member, and don't forget, it's brought to you about Tom Mattini of the New American Funding. Join him. Do it now. You'll be glad you did, courtesy of your friends at New American Funding and AM12A, the Patriot, and the fan club. Legislature is coming back into session. Words of wisdom right there. Talking with John Augustine of the Legislative Evaluation Assembly. Hopefully we won't have to run for the hills. Hopefully sanity will prevail. But it's kind of hard to hold out a whole lot of hope, given the way, as we just discussed, the legislature, the triumvirate, the ruling junta, manages policy. And the one that has me most concerned, I got to just say this, John Augustine, from our discussions off the air. I mean, we are coming up on the redistricting. And this is going to be a very important redistricting because it is highly likely that Minnesota is going to lose a congressional seat. Don't know if it's a deadlock yet. We've had some healthy growth in the state. On the other hand, there's a lot of other states that have had a lot healthier growth. And the idea that we're going to go from seven congressional districts to six.
Eight to seven.
I was on daylight savings time there already for district. Anyway, 8 to 7, and I don't think the right in Minnesota really appreciates the gravity of this situation because the left is mobilizing. They're mobilizing years early to affect this redistricting, this census, this reapportionment, which is driven by the census, and they have been doing their homework. And this bit of homework, this bit of, let's just say, I don't want to call it system rigging, but it's system rigging, is buried in a budget omnibus bill. You were talking about this. The census funding here in Minnesota, you talked about it earlier. Go ahead. Just run that by the audience here.
Omnibus state government budget bill includes policy language that orders the Minnesota Commissioner of Administration as part of the Census 2020 mobilization program that they must use at least 45% of the appropriations for an implementation grant to the nonprofit Minnesota Council on Foundations.
Minnesota Council on Foundations. Now, we're talking a nonpartisan, straight down the middle group that's just out for the good of Minnesota. Am I right?
Not exactly.
No. Go to mcf.org and read down the list of, I won't say they're necessarily A-list DFLers, but they're A-list DFLers. Maybe not the ones that are make the headlines, but we're talking a lot of people who are pretty well connected to the local
Big Buff. Well, there's lots of social justice warriors that are using the funds created by captains of industry and entrepreneurs from previous generations to overturn the lives as they would have known it to remake society. And the ones that are foundations that are pushing the California-style energy regulations, trying to keep any leaking pipelines from being upgraded, the ones that are trying to introduce diversity and implicit bias training in every single government department. They're the ones that are now supposed to get a large chunk of the funds to implement census mobilization efforts.
Right.
And I don't even know if it's constitutional if somebody were to challenge it, because in the U.S. Constitution, it says that Congress shall have the power to direct the census in such manner as they shall by law direct. But here we have Minnesota state government delegating this to an unelected, unaccountable group of foundations to do a lot of the work.
Absolutely. John Augustine, we're going to have to just give so this is stuff that people need to pay attention to. They're trying to affect the census, which will affect our congressional representation, and give a disproportionate amount of power to the metro area. This needs to be fought. John Augustine from the Legislative Evaluation Assembly, that website one more time.
www.lea-mn.org.
Now, a bit of legislation at the city level that we need to discuss is coming up for election this coming Tuesday. I'm going to take a break real quick here. We're going to come back. By the way, thanks for coming on the show today. Hopefully see you out at the Stillwater Lanes tonight. With
I'll try to make. Maybe I'll give you a live version of that.
Excellent. We'll do some Iron Maiden tonight. let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Tom Goldstein from Vote No, Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Go nowhere. We'll be right back.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Come on into the Rack Shack's new Egan location and wrap your taste buds around the Patriot Burger.
Nick Anderson, general manager of AM 1280 The Patriot, here with Keith Hittner Sr. from the Rack Shack Barbecue. How are you liking that new Egan location?
Oh man, Egan is wonderful. We have so much more space and a dynamic center that allows us to better serve our in-store customer as well as our catering clients.
You know, Keith, our listeners love the Patriot Burger almost as much as the Patriot.
It's a brisket and chuck half-pound burger that's red, white, and blue through and through. American cheese on top, and the American flag proudly flies out of the top of the bun. The Patriot Burger comes with your choice of any of our sides, like our famous hand-cut fries, all just for $12.80.
Get it? $12.80? Best burger in the USA. You really have to try it today at the Rack Shack Barbecue's new Egan location.
We're just a mile east of Cedar Avenue on Cliff Road in the heart of Cedar Cliff Center. You'll love our new digs. Come and see us today or join us at RackShackBarbecue.com. Rack Shack Barbecue.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
AM 1280, The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network, 651-289-4488, the number to call. I'm going to describe a scenario here. A group of powerful figures in a shadowy organization get together and divvy up the trash industry in a significant metro area to benefit largely the members of their particular organization. Are we talking about the four old Showtime hit show Sopranos? Or are we talking about the trash system in the city of St. Paul? Let's be honest, it's kind of hard to tell the difference. And against all odds, the people of St. Paul have the chance, I say the chance, to overturn this. And to show us what a strange case this whole thing is, you're about to hear something no one would have predicted, the idea of myself and my next guest on the same side of an issue. Any issue. My pleasure to welcome to the broadcast today Tom Goldstein from the Vote No movement here in the city of St. Paul. Tom, welcome to the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Thank you.
My pleasure to have you here, Tom. You are with the Vote No organization, the Vote No on the trash ordinance in St. Paul. Just briefly, tell us a little bit about the issue that's going to the ballot on Tuesday in St. Paul.
Well, the issue on the ballot is whether people want to improve the really terrible situation contract that we have in St. Paul. There's an ordinance currently that governs how payment is made and a lot of technical things that have to do with the contract. And they're pretty crucial things that if the ordinance is repealed, it would give the city the leverage to renegotiate the contract if they are so inclined. And it would mean that the haulers would not be paid by individuals anymore and would have to get paid by the city. And currently the contract says they can't get paid except in March and September, which means that trash being picked up now, they couldn't get paid for it till March. So we don't think most businesses can operate that way, and that would give the city the leverage to say, hey, we weren't really doing our job negotiating this contract, which is a terrible contract, so let's fix it so that all the things people want, like lower fees, lower costs, being able to share carts, being able to opt out altogether, having bulky items picked up on a regular basis like they are in Minneapolis instead of only twice a year, all those kind of things would be possible.
Now, Tom,
so that's the purpose of it.
That's correct. Now, the thing I want to focus on briefly here, Tom Goldstein, is that the Vote Yes crowd tells a very different story. If you listen to the messaging coming out of the people supporting the continuation of the Tony Soprano-style trash system, you'd think that all of us in St. Paul will be stuck on the hook for two payments in perpetuity. The contract will stay and our property taxes will rise because we just got to keep making those payments, Tom Goldstein. As you alluded to earlier, it's just not the case.
Really? Yeah.
Well, when you say stop making you're saying that it'll go on the property taxes? I mean,
that's what the mayor's claiming. Yes.
This is the threat. The threat is that if Vote No wins, then we're just going to keep the contract in place. We're not going to renegotiate, and we'll pay for it through the property taxes, and that everybody's property taxes will go up. Well, we don't like the fact that he's threatening the public with property taxes, more property taxes, because we've seen that in past years, even when trash was not on the ballot, the city raised property taxes anyway. Yeah. But what's interesting about this particular threat is that the city actually, because they were requested by Councilmember Jane Prince, they very reluctantly provided information that shows in 12 of the 17 planning districts, people's overall costs will actually go down if it gets shifted to the property taxes, meaning your property tax increase will be less than you're paying for trash. Now, we're not saying that's a great situation, but if you wanted this to be fair, you would be paying for this by property taxes anyway. I mean, why we got into this mess to begin with is another discussion, but it would be fairer because, as you know, Mitch, if you're on a limited income and you pay the same as somebody else, it's a regressive tax. So this program, Organized Trash, is unfair in many ways, and this idea that somehow everybody pays the same thing is fair. It's not fair if you're somebody on a fixed income or you're somebody living near the poverty level and you have to come up with $250 you don't have. That's a pretty big burden.
It absolutely is. We talked about that with representatives from Vote No early in the campaign who pointed out that it used to be that if you wanted to team up with two or three other households on the block, if you wanted to recycle diligently or just take a bag every two or three weeks down to the city dump off of Plato Boulevard and drop it off for $5, it was perfectly kosher. Now that'll get you a ticket from the city. That's just completely wrong, and it makes being poor in St. Paul just that much harder, Tom Goldstein.
Well, what the city should have done and what we recommended and what I personally recommended a couple years ago is if truck traffic in the alley is so important for a number of people, then they should all get together and pilot a program and see what works and how they found their hauler. And if people are happy with it, take that experience, and then we'll talk about it. And then we have a discussion. What the city did, because in my opinion, our former mayor wanted some environmental cred that he could use for running for governor, he just shoved this through. They didn't listen to the residents. They didn't listen to all the things. All the problems now were clear before the contract was signed. They were shared with the city. The city ignored them because of an attitude that we're smarter than you. And it's really interesting because yesterday someone who is highly connected to the DFL posted on Facebook about how the referendum was stupid, 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 stupid. And she went on to say stupid 14 times about everything that was wrong about the referendum and how ridiculous it was that anybody was fighting it. So she's calling essentially, you know, she's implying that anybody who's involved with this, that all the people that gathered the signatures to put it on the ballot, that all the people that signed the ballot, that all the people who have been working hard on the vote no ordinance are stupid. And that's reminiscent of what we heard from Hillary Clinton calling people who disagree with her deplorables. And this is the party in control. This is someone like this doing that. And when we called her out on Facebook, Facebook removed the post. We used her words, and she apparently complained to Facebook, and then the post was taken down.
Wow.
And so it's just, you know, the tactics, that it's really shameful that we're going to see between unions, the DFL, and in a really unholy alliance. Republic Services has put $30,000 into this campaign with the Vote No, the Jobs Coalition, running ads for Vote Yes. So you have very strange bedfellows. You have Republic Services put the $30,000 in. You have the trash companies that are now consolidating the services that want to keep the contract in place. You have the DFL and labor and the organization Isaiah that want to keep the contract in place so the mayor won't be embarrassed. Because no one is willing to admit, we screwed up, this is a terrible deal, why don't we have what Minneapolis has, which for less money than St. Paul, you can get bulkhead and it's picked up 52 times a year, your yard waste will be picked up curbside, organic recycling will pick up curbside. Here in St. Paul, instead, we'd rather get in line and go to these yard sites and dump off our stuff, when in Minneapolis you can get it picked up. It's just ridiculous that we got such a crummy contract and that our elected officials won't admit we blew it, let's fix it. Instead, they took this matter all the way to the Supreme Court and lost there as well, and they're still trying to put their thumb on the scale.
Absolutely. And by the way, this is what happens when you have a city council which includes nobody. It has not included for some years a single representative that has any experience in the world of business trying to play businessmen with business people, like the trash haulers actually are. I mean, the cartel, if you will, totally took the city on this one. I think we can both agree on that, as on few other things. By the way, you mentioned Isaiah being involved in this on the side of the yes crowd here. That one annoyed me. They're putting themselves out there as advocates for the poor, and yet they are supporting a measure and the continuation of a measure that has made being poor in St. Paul measurably worse. I mean, skyrocketing trash bills for especially poor people. As you mentioned, it's a regressive tax, and Isaiah is pushing it, Tom Goldstein.
Well, it's just really, I mean, I have in the past, when working on affordable housing issues, have worked effectively with Isaiah, and it really is troubling to see their mission in a way being perverted towards this effort. It seems nothing more than this is a favor that the mayor called in, and a faith-based organization is putting forth this nonsense that somehow we can't work on other issues in St. Paul if
yes.
We're talking about trash. It was the city that made the choice to not let the referendum go on the ballot a year ago when the signatures had been gathered, that delayed it for a year, that has made this an issue to deal with. They could have just let democracy function and the rights guaranteed by our city charter to be used, and this would be on the ballot. Instead, they fought it, and now they're saying, oh, this is getting in the way. Can't the city walk and chew gum at the same time?
It's the term I used exactly. I can just see the mayor saying, well, we couldn't plow the streets during the upcoming whenever the first blizzard happens, because we're so busy dealing with the trash situation. Sorry, we pay you what we pay you to do more than one job at a time, mayor and city council. Anyway.
Well, the city, unfortunately, has, as you know from knowing me in the past, the city has put all of our money into stadiums, stadiums owned by billionaires, and into entertainment venues owned by private enterprise. We're doing a great job subsidizing private enterprise, but when it comes to taking care of the things that cities are supposed to do, which is to keep the infrastructure in working order, police, fire, all those things. We don't have the money. And, you know, I'm sad to say that the old charge of liberals just being tax and spend Democrats has become true in St. Paul, where all we're doing is raising taxes and having really negative impacts on the people that can least afford it. But because there's enough well-connected people that paying more money isn't a problem for them because they can generate lots of revenue through all their connections in the city. That's the city we've become. We're just going to keep raising taxes, and we have no plan to fix our streets. And apparently $1 billion in deferred maintenance, and to be fair, that's not just a Democrat, that's Republicans and Democrats have not taken care of the city for 25 years because they've both pursued stadiums, fallen in love with that kind of thing. But now here we are in this crisis, and all they have time to do is to block citizens from bringing a referendum forward to actually give citizens a voice because they wouldn't be listened to. And this is really what happens when we have one-party rule. It doesn't matter which party's in charge. It doesn't serve the community well when there is not political party is not distributed more balanced than what we have now.
Exactly. A multi-party system assures some kind of accountability at the very least and holds people's feet in the fire. By the way, before we wrap this up, I just want to point out to the audience who may not be aware the exceeding irony of Tom Goldstein and I being on the same side of any issue. You and I have sparred for well over a decade on a panoply of issues, Tom Goldstein. I'm glad we're both on the right side of this one. Now, you're part of the Vote No movement in St. Paul, trying to toss the Tony Soprano style trash system. In the moment or so we have remaining, please explain how people can find out more about Vote No, about how Vote No is the right vote in this case.
Happy to do that. We don't think that organized trash is going away now because so many small haulers have been put out of business.
Yeah.
So at least for the time being, we want to make this system work much better. So voting no is about getting something that actually will serve the public.
Yep.
And if you look online at our website, stpaultrash.com, or you go to our Facebook page, you can see how we have the comparisons between all the jurisdictions, and St. Paul's trash program is the worst by far compared to Minneapolis, Maplewood, St. Louis Park, and Bloomington, which all have organized trash systems. I mean, we did not negotiate. We negotiated with our hands tied behind the back, and the city should be grateful that residents have given them another bite at the apple if they want to take it. But the only way we can even be in a position to take a bite at the apple and bring the haulers back to the bargaining table is people vote no.
Tom Goldstein, we're down to about vote no. Vote no is the big message. One more time, the website in the 10 seconds we have remaining, Tom Goldstein.
stpaultrash.com, also Facebook, St. Paul Trash, and vote no on trash.
See you at the polls on Tuesday. I will be there with a big, huge no on my T-shirt, and hopefully I don't get tossed from the polling station.
Bring everybody you can, Mitch.
Everyone will be there. Tom Goldstein from Vote No, and check out the website as soon as you can. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week. God bless you all. God bless America. Vote no!
Hi, Saver. Looking for the smartest way to save on your Medicare Part D prescriptions? Walgreens is a preferred network pharmacy with many plans, including UnitedHealthcare, which can mean copays as low as $0 on prescriptions with select plans. So when you enroll in a plan with Walgreens as your preferred pharmacy, you know you're saving smartly. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Other plans may be accepted.
I'm Jan Markell, helping you understand the times.
So you might think that this is satire, but it's actually not. It's a real thing. A seminary in New York City, a Union Theological Seminary, getting their students together to confess their sins to plants.
Students at Union Theological Seminary prayed to a display of plants set up in the chapel of the school. Today in chapel, we confess to plants, the nation's oldest independent seminary declared. Together, we offered our grief, joy, regret, hope, guilt, and sorrow in prayer. Folks, the predicted strong delusion of the last days is upon us. Had the Bible not forewarned us, much that transpires today would be beyond belief. thankfully, the Bible warns us in advance of the things to come. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
This is Jerry Boyer of Town Hall Finance for townhall.com. Recently, candidate Elizabeth Warren proposed a wealth tax, which is a tax on wealth that has already been earned, taxed, and saved. This sounded historically familiar to me, so I talked to my friend Amity Schles, a renowned economic historian and author of The Forgotten Man, A History of the Great Depression. She confirmed to me that under the New Deal, there were indeed several wealth taxes. The result of this general war on business and war on wealth was what she labeled, quote, the depression within the depression, that brutal period from 1937 to 1938 when unemployment still over 10% shot back up even higher. The anti-business attitude of the New Deal prolonged, and she said, quote, put the great in Great Depression, no doubt about it, end quote. A wealth tax? We've been there, done that, crashed the economy. This is one experiment that we'd be fools to try again. I'm Jerry Boyer.
Sponsored by ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom.
When it comes to replacing your windows and doors, ignorance is not bliss. You only want to have to do it once, and you don't want to make a mistake. Great Plains Windows and Doors has been helping homeowners all over the Twin Cities with their replacement needs, utilizing the entire line of Anderson Core product, including the most popular 400 series, which contractors trust the most, and they're made right here in Minnesota. Now that sounds like bliss. For a truly remarkable experience, contact Great Plains Windows and Doors at greatplainswindows.com.
AM 1280, the